the Trump administration's now completely overt effort to overthrow Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro had a very successful public relations effort this week. As FAIR analyst Adam Johnson reported, Western media outlets fell in lockstep, echoing uniformly the claim that the Venezuelan government was blocking a bridge, heartlessly withholding foreign aid from its people. CNN, ABC, NPR, BBC, pick your outlet, all had the same script. Maduro was blocking aid from the U.S. out of a refusal to relinquish power, preferring to starve his own people rather than feed them. And there was photographic proof, a picture of trucks blocking a bridge. Some of the information that for media now is clearly beside the point, and that in the future they will earnestly assert that no one knew. For one, the bridge in question between Venezuela and Colombia has never actually been open to traffic. It's been blocked by both countries for some time. Other bridges, however, are open. More germane, people actually involved in bringing aid, like the International Red Cross and the United Nations, had previously explicitly warned the U.S. not to engage in these types of PR stunts, using aid as a kind of pawn. Johnson cites Washington Post contributor Vincent Bevins, who noted that the Red Cross only recently doubled its budget to deliver relief in Venezuela, offering evidence that the Maduro government is more than willing to work with international aid when it's offered in good faith, just not when it's a thinly veiled mechanism to contrive PR victories for those seeking to overthrow the government. Joe Emmersberger also points out on FAIR.org the amount of aid with which elite U.S. media are currently righteously consumed amounts to a rounding error compared with the impact of the billions of dollars lost to economic sanctions begun under Barack Obama and intensified under Trump. Last but not least, there's the difficult reality that the Venezuelan government has an entirely rational reason to suspect that the U.S. would use humanitarian aid as a cover to smuggle in weapons to foment armed conflict, given that the person running quarterback for Trump on the current Venezuela operation, Elliot Abrams, did literally exactly that, authorizing by his own proud admission, and as reported in U.S. media at the time, the shipment of weapons on a humanitarian aid flight to Nicaraguan rebels in the mid-1980s. It is, as Johnson writes, the same actors, the same tricks, the same patently disingenuous concern for the starving poor. And the U.S. media are stripping it all of this essential context, presenting these radical regime change operators as bleeding heart humanitarians. The fact-checking brigade that emerged to confront the Trump administration is suddenly non-existent as that administration rolls out a transparent, cynical strategy to delegitimize a Latin American government that it's trying to overthrow. And in better news, a federal appeals court has overturned FCC Chair Ajit Pai's attempt to gut the subsidy that makes it possible for low-income communities to access broadband. For reasons known only to themselves, the FCC's Republican majority voted last fall to make it much harder for people, including tribal residents, to obtain a subsidy provided by a program appropriately called Lifeline. Lifeline helps people who qualify with a $9.25 monthly subsidy to buy phone and internet service. For those living on tribal lands, the subsidy is $25 in recognition of additional hurdles to access they face. Nearly 11 million people subscribe, which still represents just 28% of eligible households. As John Brodkin at Ars Technica reminds, the Lifeline program started as a landline phone subsidy under Ronald Reagan, then became a wireless subsidy program under George W. Bush, and then a phone and internet program under Barack Obama. In other words, it's not a controversial thing, just seen as a relatively cheap way to bridge an increasingly critical and unconscionable divide. That is, until we get to Trump's FCC and former Verizon lawyer Pai. As part of their evident public interest, what's that, philosophy, Pai and pals pushed through a change of policy to limit access to Lifeline last fall. They just didn't bother to make much of a case. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit stayed the FCC decision pending appeal, and as Brodkin reports, the same court followed that up early this month with a ruling reversing the FCC decision and remanding the matter back to the commission for a new rulemaking proceeding. Among other should-be embarrassing things, the judges wrote that the commission's decisions were arbitrary and capricious, without a reasoned explanation supported by record evidence. And the agency ignored that its decision is a fundamental change that adversely affects the access and affordability of service for residents of tribal lands. Similarly, in adopting the tribal rural limitation, the commission's decision evinces no consideration of the impact on services access and affordability. It's almost as if they don't have the public interest at heart. You are listening to Counterspin, brought to you each week by the Media Watch Group Fair.